Hello, my name is Father Boniface. I am a Benedictine priest and monk of St. Vincent Archabbey in La Trobe, Pennsylvania, and so grateful to have the chance to talk with Archbishop Joseph Naumann of the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas. Archbishop, you're the head of the Pro-Life Activities Committee of the USCCB, and you've been able to witness and speak out about a number of good things that are happening in our society in regard to pro-life activities. Could you share a few of those with us?
Yeah, you know, there have been many positive developments, and there's a hope and energy, I think. First of all, there's this hope that we may have a Supreme Court that would seriously, if not reverse Roe versus Wade, pare back its reach. And so that's positive. You know, we haven't felt we've had that possibility in over 40 years now. And part of what that has spawned is a lot of activity on the state level. So some of that's been bad in states like New York and Illinois, Vermont, and others. But a lot of it's been good in states like Louisiana and Alabama and Missouri, and I think Ohio as well. That we've had a series of pretty strong state measures that if Roe versus Wade was repealed, and a lot of them are hoping that their statute might be the one that'll be chosen, or maybe a combination of these court cases that'll come out of these statutes would be chosen. So those are some of the positive things. I think in another kind of serendipitous event at this moment was the movie Unplanned, and this story of Abby Johnson's conversion. She's almost a St. Paul in the pro-life community, and there's the movie is extremely well made, and I think it's had a very powerful impact. I know in my archdiocese we operate a Catholic college. Most of the students at this college are first generation to get a college education. They come from a lot of times economically modest backgrounds. And going into seeing the movie, a number of them would have self-identified as pro-choice. Coming out of the movie, they would all say that they were pro-life. And even the ones that were pro-life came out saying, I've always been pro-life, but I've been shy to speak about it. And now I know that I must. So I think her story and kind of the giving a window into the abortion clinic and that culture, and not demonizing the people, but and of course her ministry now is to help others come out of the abortion industry. So I think culturally that's been good. Also, you know, this administration has done a lot of things in terms of regulations that have been very positive as well. You know, it used to be I shuddered whenever Health and Human Services did anything. But under this administration, it's become just the opposite. And their Office for Civil Rights, for instance, has promulgated a rule on protecting conscience, both of institutions and individuals, and really implementing a lot of the laws that are already on the books, but that the previous administration really try to scale back the conscience rights protections. The way that they interpreted the laws are just determined not to apply them or not to enforce them. Also recently, HHS also has put out a rule about not the National Institute for Health not using fetal tissue recovered from abortions for experimentation. So there, you know, I think this administration has attempted to do many very positive things that they can do in addition to court appointments, but also things that they can do in terms of regulations. And so there are a lot of positive things happening in the landscape right now, but great challenges as well. Our opponents have been awakened, and they're very fearful that the Supreme Court, that the U.S. Supreme Court, that they considered kind of their toy and their protector, that they're very frightened that that's going to be taken away. And so that's why you see in these states where they've they have the state legislatures to do it, these very radical bills that are basically codifying what Roe versus Wade, which they've, in terms of public relations, they've denied for years, but now they're admitting to it because as they try to codify it in state law in case the court would repeal Roe versus Wade, that abortion would be legal right up to the moment of birth, and in some cases actually proposing infanticide.
Wow. I've sometimes heard the objection that the Republicans just use the pro-life agenda to get votes but then never do anything, but it seems that there have been significant developments under this administration.
Yeah, I think wisely, the church in the United States, we tend to never to put our credibility on the line with any political party or any political candidate. So there's no perfect parties or candidates, and yet, I will say that this president, for whatever other deficiencies he may have in this area, he has really been true, and the people that he's put in place in his administration have really done what they could from the executive level really to advance the pro-life agenda. So, I think we have to give credit in these areas that this administration is arguably has done more for pro-life than any other previous administration.
And to go together with the evangelization of the entertainment area and the media in terms of the movie Unplanned is really a great two-pronged benefit.
Yeah, it certainly has been. And we need more things like Unplanned. Of course, there was the previous movie about the famous abortionist in Philadelphia, who actually is in jail now, which if what some of these states are passing now, he could probably object to his conviction because, basically he was killing this idea of infanticide. He was committing infanticide is what he went to jail for. But we need to tell those stories and positive stories as well. And I think that Abby Johnson's was the story of redemption and of hope. And really it showed how pro-life advocates out in front of an abortion clinic praying, what a powerful impact they had on her. Because when she left the abortion clinic, where did she go? She went to 40 Days for Life. She went to their offices. So it shows, I think hopefully it heartened an awful lot of pro-life people that have faithfully been outside abortion clinics praying, and to see that they're having an impact, I think is beautiful for them and encouraging for all of us.
And I appreciate what you said about the movie not demonizing the pro-choice movement or those who are involved in the abortion industry. We certainly want their redemption as well, and as part of the reason that we object so strenuously.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have to be careful about that. We can be very passionate about the evil, but we believe that everyone's made in the divine image and everyone's of such worth that Jesus Christ gave his life on Calvary. And that goes for the abortionists as well. And so our task is, not to condemn them, but to help them come to know the mercy of Jesus Christ. And of course, Abby Johnson, became Catholic eventually, her and her husband. And it's not in the movie, but I've heard her personally say that, the sacrament of reconciliation was so helpful in her own healing when she came to terms with what she had been part of for all those years.
Archbishop, I know a lot of our listeners are not legislators or members of the executive or judicial branch and can sometimes feel very helpless in the face of such powerful forces. But do you have some recommendations about how they can participate more actively?
Yeah, the pastoral plan for pro-life activities, I think, gives us all opportunities to engage. The first is prayer. That's the foundation of everything that we have to do. And certainly in a battle like this, which is against light and darkness, good and evil, it has to be grounded in prayer. And as I said, we saw the power of the prayer of individuals outside of an abortion clinic, but it's also powerful if it's done in adoration chapels as well. So prayer is something that we all can do. Education is the next part of the pastoral plan, and so the most effective education happens one-on-one, person-to-person, within families and friendships and co-workers. And so to be knowledgeable yourself and to know how to engage another person and listen to maybe what are their concerns. You see a person like Abby Johnson, she got involved with Planned Parenthood, what she thought were for noble reasons. And so to help them see kind of the fallacy, hopefully, that of maybe that they have a good desire, but how abortion's not the answer to it. And education, you know, I think it's spending time with people, engaging them, and then hopefully by our own education, being able to share with them truth and facts that will help them. The third pillar is pastoral care. And so to what we can't protect by law right now, we can save many lives through our crisis pregnancy centers and pregnancy resource centers, birthrights. So to get engaged with those, and there's other projects like the Gabriel Project that can help with that. There's also important ministry to be done for those that have been involved in abortion, deeply regretted. And I think then the fourth pillar is public advocacy. And even though people may feel intimidated sometimes by the process or disengaged from it, it's important that we vote. And elections really do make a difference. And, you know, I shudder to think of what the Supreme Court would look like today if this last election had turned out differently. So elections do make a difference. And, you know, at the local level, a lot of times that's where people start usually in public office and local offices. And so to be careful about who you're empowering, who you're electing for mayors and state representatives and state senators. I think all of them, eventually, they may be higher up in the public policy chain. And now the states, if the Supreme Court really returns to the states the ability to significantly regulate abortion, the state legislatures are going to become even more important. So to be knowledgeable about candidates, their positions, and to use your vote, if nothing, that alone can be a big way of helping.
You made a comment in one of your press releases that not only do we want it to be illegal, but also unthinkable. And
right.
So those first three pillars are really critical.
Right. So, you know, I mean, it's one thing to be able to push an electorate at a particular election and win. But if you haven't changed people's minds and hearts, that's going to be a short-lived victory. And that's what we really have to be about, is really enlightening people. And the goal is to help people to see abortion for what it is. And if they do that, it becomes unthinkable.
We're so grateful for your leadership, Archbishop Naumann, in teaching and in your great witness to the faith and being such a good shepherd.
Well, thanks, Father Boniface. We love the Benedictines, and, you know, we have one of your daughter houses out in Kansas, in Atchison, Kansas. So thanks for your vocation as well.
Could you say a little prayer for us as we conclude?
Sure. Lord, we ask your blessing on all our listeners today, and Lord, we ask you to just help them to know your presence with them and the joy of your love and gospel, and help us all in our time to stand up for life and protect human life in all of its ages and stages. We ask your blessing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Archbishop Naumann, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.